Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Now, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney, joined in studio here in the boiler room, as usual, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. It's so good to have you all aboard. This week, on the show where we don't take calls and we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And let me give some original thought right now to the manager down at the grocery store back in town. Yeah, we had to go into town this morning to pick up a few items for my extremely attractive audio engineer who emptied her walk-in pantry yesterday entertaining guests late into the night. A great time was had by all. A lot of skeet shooting out here at the McBurney compound for Memorial Day. By the way, I want to thank all our veterans out there for your service to our country. Thank you very much, and I want to pause to remember those who gave their lives. And I want to exhort all of you that despite what we're about to talk about, all is not lost, at least not at the McBurney compound. As far as the country, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the grocery store. I go down to the grocery store to pick up a few items. I have my three daughters with me as my extremely attractive audio engineer spent the day cleaning up the mess from the big bash here at the McBurney, the Memorial Day bash, at our big Memorial Day feast and fire celebration. Feast and fire, yes. We feasted and we fired mostly on skeet. A couple of pigeons came through and they made it through and they survived. But anyway, we're down at the grocery store, and I just want to pick up a few items for dinner tonight. We go to the self-checkout, and staring me in the face, well, actually staring me at about chest level, but right at 13 to 14-year-old teenage girl level, are a couple of magazines, one implying that Brad Pitt is a secret bisexual, and another celebrating America's best bodies with a half-naked prostitute on the cover of the magazine. Have to distract my children so that I don't have to explain to them what a bisexual is or why is that woman dressed like a stripper. It's disgusting. You can't hardly go out in the world anymore without having your family assaulted by sexual perversion and immorality because we're awash in it. And I had to restrain myself from grabbing the magazines off the rack and storming over to the manager and making a scene. But I didn't make a scene because I'd rather that the kids just didn't even notice stuff like that. So I'll have an opportunity to give them a piece of my mind in the not-too-distant future because the magazine racks are always full of this garbage. And it's very distasteful to have to go and see just not even my religion it being assaulted. No, it's not my religion. It's just common values being insulted and assaulted and children's minds being assaulted. I tell you, the heathens are on the rise. And in fact, let's start. We'll go to France first, but we'll do some globetrotting as we go through the broadcast today. We're going to start from a report from Vatican Radio. Authorities in a small town in Brittany, France, have been told they have 6 months to remove a 30-foot bronze statue of Pope John Paul II. That's right. They say they want it removed because it does not respect the French Republic's 1905 law concerning the separation of church and state, which has become a religion in and of itself, the separation of church and state. Now, the statue in question, according to Vatican Radio, shows the late Pope standing in prayer beneath an arch topped by, are you sitting down? A cross. That's right, a cross. And the heathens are just outraged that there would be a statue with a cross prominently displayed. Now, the court, in its ruling, said that the dimensions of the statue and its placement are ostentatious, and that's why it must be removed. But we all know why they want it removed. The artist who made the statue says he will oppose any modifications to the monument, including the removal of the cross. Now, we all know that's what they want. They don't care if there's a statue of Pope John Paul and an arch, and they don't care how tall it is. What they can't stand is that cross up top. It's the cross they want out. Just like in China. Didn't we report on that just a couple weeks ago? The Chinese are tearing off crosses that are prominently displayed on the tops of buildings. And now the French are, well, at least the French court has ordered that the French government begin doing the same. You know, the heathens are just flat out terrified by the power of the gospel. They're so terrified they can't even look at a cross. They're like a bunch of vampires. They start melting and sweating. And blood comes out their eyes when they look at a cross. But they're perfectly fine with a magazine cover that implies some famous actor is a bisexual and a picture of a half-naked prostitute right there in the checkout line. Nobody's petitioned the French government to remove stuff like that. I may petition the government here, or at least at the grocery store, to remove that. Now, that was from the Mad Religion file. That's a new file. You've heard of the Sad Religion file. We've always had the Bad Religion file. That's the Mad Religion file, because the heathens are just mad. They're mad at anyone who would display a cross or mention the name of Jesus Christ. Case in point, WorldNet Daily is reporting that a recent push to court-martial a general, apparently the Air Force has said they will not persecute the general, Major General Craig Olson. But we haven't heard the end of this because it's Mikey Weinstein and the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Yes, they called for Olson to be aggressively and very visibly brought to justice for his unforgivable crimes and transgressions. And they said any other service members who helped him should be investigated and punished to the full extent of the military law. Mikey Weinstein and his coterie of heathen lawyers. What happened, ladies and gentlemen, was Major Craig Olson gave a 23-minute address in which he referred to himself as a redeemed believer in Christ who credits God for his accomplishments in the Air Force. Yes, Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation calls that an unforgivable crime and transgression. Now, Mikey Weinstein, you remember him, right? We've talked about him. He sent a letter to the Air Force Chief of Staff complaining, stating that he was utterly disgusted and shocked by the brazenly illicit and wholly unconstitutional fundamentalist Christian proselytizing perpetrated on international television. Yeah, it was the National Day of Prayer Task Force where Major General Olson made the speech in which he mentioned the name of Jesus Christ. He did the unthinkable, the unforgivable. Weinstein says that the sectarian speech is nothing less than a brutal disgrace to the very uniform he was wearing during this annual shame spectacle and display of Christian supremacy and exceptionalism. Mikey Weinstein. He's so afraid. Why is he so afraid? Now, I know it sounds like he's Jewish, but I don't know that he's Jewish. I don't know that he's an atheist. I think he's an atheist. Anyway, he brings to mind a Bible verse, Proverbs 28, the wicked flee when no one pursues. Because, Mikey, no, the Christians aren't going to whip out a scimitar and make you get on your knees and convert or die. Okay, it's just not, we're not going to force our religion upon you. And you can spout off about your atheism or your Judaism or whatever it is you are all you want. We're not going to ask that you be prosecuted or persecuted in any way. In fact, we would be happy to engage you in a free-spirited debate, Mikey. Yeah, I read a little bit of Mikey's alleged biography on Wikipedia. And I was trying to find out, where's Mikey coming from? Where does all this anger come from? He says it stems from an incident back in 2004 when the movie The Passion of the Christ was released, and he was attending, no, he wasn't attending, his children were attending the Air Force Academy. And his children complained that they were being harassed by Christians and they were being called dirty Jews and Jesus killers as the Air Force brass was encouraging cadets at the Air Force Academy to visit a screening of The Passion of the Christ. And that's where Mikey says he traces all of his ill will toward religion in the military. But I have a feeling it goes back further than that with Mikey. I think there's an issue with Mikey and his dad. But I have not been able to uncover it. If I ever have an opportunity for a free-spirited debate with Mikey Weinstein, I will ask him how him and his dad get along. We'll try to get to the roots of Mikey's rage, and maybe I could help him. I want to help the guy. I want to help him get over his hatred of Jesus Christ. Because I know a lot of Jewish people, while they don't accept Jesus as their Messiah, they're not rabidly angry all the time at him and at anyone who mentions his name. So there's something else going on with Mikey. And hopefully someday we can get to the bottom of it. But while the Air Force is considering action against one of their major generals, they're busying themselves with that. We have a report from Reuters out of Baghdad, Iraq. Ramadi this past week fell to ISIS in what's been characterized as the biggest defeat for Baghdad, for the Baghdad government since last summer. It was the biggest victory for the Islamic State since security forces and Shiite paramilitary groups began pushing them back last year. When did anyone start pushing ISIS back? I don't recall that. But they say they were being pushed back, aided by airstrikes from a U.S.-led coalition. So Reuters toes the line. I mean, they sell the narrative that America is fighting ISIS tooth and nail, doing all we can. Well, the Iraqi government had vowed to liberate all of Anbar province after they allegedly routed ISIS out of Tikrit last month. But they apparently this past week disintegrated under an Islamic State onslaught. Oh, that was last June. Oh, in Tikrit. And now they've lost Anbar province. It reminds me of the old joke that the army infantrymen used to tell about the South Vietnamese army. I think it applies to the Iraqi security forces. After Anbar province folded like a cheap suitcase, there were signs that went up by the U.S. military saying, M16s available, nearly new condition. Never fired and only dropped once by the fleeing Iraqi security forces, who we allegedly are trying to train, arm. I don't understand it. Listen to how Reuters puts the American offensive. The United States and its allies have been pounding the militants for months. Makes it sound like, yeah. But during the fall of Ramadi, the critical moment this past week, Reuters reports that over a 24-hour period, the U.S.-led coalition carried out 7 airstrikes near Ramadi. 7 airstrikes as the city fell. And Reuters reports that's the highest number on any single location in Iraq or Syria during this whole great offensive. 7 airstrikes in 24 hours. I remember when the first Gulf War kicked off, we were carrying out 10,000 sorties a week. This is a pathetic attempt, and it indicates to me that Mr. Obama and his puppet master, George Soros, are on the side of the Islamic State, either just by default or actively, and not through incompetence, because nobody can be that incompetent. There has to be some conscious effort to allow the Islamic State to fester and rise. And I trace it all back to George Soros and his creation, Barack Obama, and his 4 horsewomen, and his girl junta, who may very well get us all killed. before too long. Another case in point to that. Let's go to the war file. Barry was interviewed by the Atlantic Monthly by some liberal left-wing reporter who, despite his liberal left-wing leanings, did have to ask Barry some serious questions about, well, how he's screwing everything up. I mean, it just had to come up. He was interviewing Barry as Ramadi fell and the day before Palmyra in Syria fell. By the way, that fell also last week. An ancient city with a number of Christians and non-Muslims, non-Islamists. And Barry said to the interviewer at the Atlantic Monthly, well, if the Iraqis themselves are not willing or capable to fight for the security of their country, we cannot do that for them. Basically admitting right there that the airstrikes are just political. I mean, it's just a political play. He says, we're not going to do that for them. He says, look, 20 years from now, I'm still going to be around, God willing. If Iran has a nuclear weapon, well, it's my name on this, says Barry. Because the reporter then said, oh, by the way, now you've lost Iraq and Syria, and you decapitated Libya, and that's just descended into civil war and bloodshed. Tribal, maniacal warfare, and now you're also people are saying that you're going to give Iran a nuke, and Barry insists he's not because well his legacy is so important that he would never do that. He says, "Look, my name is on this. My name will be on the Iranian bomb, and that very well could be true. The Iranians may scrawl Barry's name in Arabic script on the first bomb they drop." They'll dedicate it to Barry since he's the one who gave it to him. But Barry says, as far as preventing Iran from getting a nuke, he says, I have a personal interest in locking this down, whatever that means. Now, the reporter at The Atlantic is a shill for Barry. And so listen to how he describes Barry's situation as regards World War III, which we're in the onset of World War III. And here's what the reporter at The Atlantic is concerned about. Obama knows perfectly well that his personal legacy, and not just the future of global nuclear proliferation, is riding on the proposition that he is not being played by his Iranian adversary. So the reporter at The Atlantic mentions Barry's personal legacy before he mentions global nuclear proliferation, telling you where the Atlantic reporter comes down. He says Barack Obama's reputation will be forever tarnished if Iran goes sideways, even after he leaves office. Yeah, they also asked Barry, what if the Saudis decide to get a nuclear weapon? Barry says, well, there has been no indication from the Saudis that they have an intention to pursue their own nuclear program. And he said that with a straight face, as if none of us have been aware of the fact that the Saudis have openly said that if they become convinced that Iran will get a nuke, then they're going to nuke up as well. But Barry knows that most people out there are idiots and that he can basically shuck and jive his way to the end of his reign. Now, the reporter says, quote, I don't believe the regime with which Obama is negotiating, meaning the Iranians, can be counted on to be entirely rational. as if to indicate to us that the reporter has some concern that perhaps the Iranian mullahs aren't rational. Well, Obama responded to that by saying, the fact that the mullahs are anti-Semitic or racist does not preclude them from being interested in survival, keeping their economy afloat, and making strategic decisions to stay in power. So Barry looks at this from a very utilitarian stand. He says, look, they might be anti-Semites, but, I mean, it's not like they're suicidal. He says, although they are suicidal, Barry. Somebody should remind. They are willing to, they may not be personally suicidal, but they are willing to commit national suicide, i.e. inviting a nuclear strike from Israel, as long as they're allowed to perpetrate a nuclear strike on Israel. And some of their generals have said it. We have it on tape. We have it in black and white. He says, the fact that the supreme leader is anti-Semitic doesn't mean that overrides all of his other considerations. And see, this is where Barry is being played, and this is where he's mistaken. With the Iranians, they're a suicidal death cult. The ruling mullahs are a suicidal, apocalyptic death cult who have said they want to do what they can to usher in the return of the Mahdi and the end of the world and all that. And we're supposed to be concerned, along with the Atlantic Monthly Reporter, about Barack Obama's legacy and how that affects Barry's legacy. That's the important part of the story. Forget about the fact that Tel Aviv could melt and that World War III could blow up around the world. What really matters is how are we going to look back on Barry's presidency.
First things first, we're going to change the rules. Better listen up, all you boys and girls. Your prayer says there'll be no after school. So vote for me, now wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah!
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 Yeah! And now I know there's trouble in the Middle East. I stand on my money when I stop the arms race. All my brothers in the desert gonna have those other feasts. When that's gone, then we'll start a
world peace.
And I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you very much. No, I don't want to be president. No, I wouldn't want the. I wouldn't want to disappoint my mother. And follow this act. Although I suppose it's important who the next president is. I think it's less and less important because they all seem to be. Well, they all seem to be playing for the other side, and it's the wrong side. And I think even the people who think they're conservatives don't realize that they're actually liberals. Anyway, Barry, the Atlantic reporter was obviously obsessed with Barry's legacy, and Barry says, my name's on this, meaning the Iranian bomb, in a Freudian slip. My name's on this. But let me tell you something else your name is on, Barry. It is on reason number 911, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And we go to Marquette University, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. As reported by EAG News, Marquette has fired their Gender and Sexuality Resource Center director. Now, what would a Gender and Sexuality Resource Center director have to do to get fired? What, announce he's straight? I don't know. He didn't do that. He put up a mural, that large painting or graphic image for all of you who matriculated in the government schools. It's a mural. That featured cop killer and wanted terrorist Assata Shakur. Yes, you remember Assata Shakur was convicted of the execution style of a New Jersey trooper in 1973 before she escaped prison and fled to Cuba, where she now lives. And Barry, is in negotiations to open an embassy in Cuba while they host this convicted cop killer terrorist. As Gender and Sexuality Resource Center director had a mural that featured Assata Shakur. Now, I should have listed as number 912. Reason number 912 to keep your kids out is that the university may have a Gender and Sexuality Resource Center. That alone is a reason in and of itself. But the other reason is your child may be taught to worship murderers and terrorists when they matriculate into the higher education, as it's called, in the university system. Anyway, the mural of Shakur that the Gender and Sexuality Resource Center director put up on the wall includes quotes and pictures and yada, yada. You know why? You have to ask yourself, why would a garden variety university level sex pervert want to honor a murderer and a cop killer? What's the deal there? What does that have to do with gender and sexuality resources, whatever those are. Whatever they are, I don't think they have anything to do with terrorism and murdering police officers. But why is it that this sex pervert puts up a picture of a murderer on the wall? Well, I think that as you break down sexual barriers, you are essentially rejecting authority, and I think sex perverts eventually end up hating all authority if they're allowed to just go to their natural end, which apparently is the university, in this case Marquette. If they're allowed to keep on publicly advocating sexual immorality, they eventually hate all authority, especially the police. And that's why this pervert put a terrorist on the wall. So I guess the good news is they fired this pervert, but the bad news is Marquette is now searching for a new gender and sexuality resource center director, preferably one who doesn't openly advocate terrorism and the murder of police by honoring killers on the wall. And by the way, Marquette issued a statement because nobody at Marquette has the nerve to actually stand in front of a microphone and a camera and address this issue. So they just issued a statement, which is something they teach you when you get your communications degree. When in doubt, issue a statement and hide under the couch. The statement says, this mural does not reflect the guiding values of Marquette. But apparently having a gender and sexuality resource center does reflect the guiding values of Marquette. Hence, the landing of this story as reason 911 to get or keep your kids out of the government schools. And now we've got to go to reason number 667 to keep your kids out of the Boy Scouts. Yeah, the Boy Scouts. I know, it seems like only yesterday the Boy Scouts lifted the ban on openly homosexual scouts. You know, little boys and girls who have been corrupted and convinced by some deviant adult that they're homosexual. Or molested by said adult. So they lifted that, it seems like, day before yesterday. And already, the national president of the Boy Scouts is reported this past week by the Associated Press, stating that the organization's longstanding ban on openly gay adults is no longer sustainable. That's Robert Gates, former Barack Obama defense secretary, Robert Gates. So Barry's fingerprints are all over this as well. His name's on this. Future generations are going to look back on all this, and they're going to be able to credit an awful lot of this social decay directly to Barack Obama, and then if they follow it long enough, they'll find out that he was actually raised and bred by George Soros and his minions. Anyway, Robert Gates, by the way, Bob Gates, he also worked for George W. Bush, so anyway, for whatever that's worth. And Bush was pretty friendly with the homos, too. Bob Gates referred to recent moves by Boy Scout councils in New York City and elsewhere to defy the ban on homosexual scout leaders. That the scout leader, by the way, is the one who leads the boys out in the woods and then camps with them overnight in the tent. Just not to put too fine a point on it, but that's what they do. And Bob Gates wants homos in the tents with the children. Bob raised the possibility of revising the Boy Scouts policy soon so that local scout organizations can decide on their own whether or not to allow homosexual scout leaders to camp out with the boys. What that means is that, it's over. The Boy Scouts are over. It's sad. There it is. Barack Obama and his minions, via Bob Gates, have managed to destroy one of America's longest-standing normal institutions. And they've sodomized it. Basically, they've sodomized the Boy Scouts figuratively and, eventually literally. All right. Now, speaking of all that, Ireland. Yeah. Ireland voted yesterday, as a matter of fact, Saturday, this past week, on whether or not to legalize homosexual marriage, and over 60% of Irish voters voted yes. And so now Ireland has fundamentally undermined the institution of marriage that prevents all civilization from collapsing into civil strife, bloodshed, and warfare. That is the marriage of one man to one woman for life, exclusively. That's the brick that holds it all together, folks. And now Ireland has shattered that brick. The health minister in Ireland says that the referendum resembles a social revolution. Yeah. And what's surprising is how fast this has happened. But it proves my axiom that when you get on the slippery slope, the closer you get to the bottom, the faster you go. Because there's all that momentum. It's basic physics. These are spiritual physics. The closer to the bottom, the faster you go. In 1993, only a third of the country backed the decriminalization of homosexual behavior for men. Yeah, homosexual behavior by men was illegal. And so they polled the Irish people in 93, just over 20 years ago. And fewer than 33% of the people said that it should be legalized. And now 60% have legalized homosexual marriage. It's commentators are crediting the ability of campaigners to motivate young first-time voters via social media to get out there and vote. Many very young 18, 19, 20-somethings, first-time voters found this was an issue that would get them out to vote. And this goes to, it kind of touches me in a more personal way, McBurney, Irish, maybe. I mean, I've always been told I'm Irish, but then there's been a debate within the McBurney clan about whether or not we're Irish or Scottish. All the warmongers insist that we're Scottish, and all the alcoholics insist that we're Irish. Isn't it obvious? But whether I'm Scots-Irish, I don't know which side of the family is right, but none of us support men marrying men. And that's how fast it has changed, ladies and gentlemen, how dramatically everything has shifted. A new paradigm. Back in the 80s, parents were worried about their kids sleeping his life away and just being lazy and a bum. But now the youth have been fully indoctrinated for over a generation to worship at the altar of homosexualism. And the youngsters there in Ireland, they were motivated to get out of bed and go and destroy their country. So I will make some predictions now about the future of Ireland. Ireland is about this. Over the next 20 years, Ireland will see a dramatic increase in murders because they have broken down yet another sexual boundary. And sexual immorality, as we all know, is the leading cause of assault and murder. And so Ireland is about to experience a huge convulsion, an increase in murder, assault, and violent crime between people who know each other very well. That's just the one prediction I'll make here. They will also see a significant decline in the number of people getting married, unless you measure only the homosexual demographic. So two predictions for Ireland. And I also predict the end of Ireland unless they change their trajectory, because their trajectory is straight to hell with jet rockets at this point. All right. Now let's go to, what do we have here? From CBS News, reason number 910 to keep or get your children out of the government schools. This is from DeKalb County, Georgia. A middle school teacher has been fired after being accused of having yet another inappropriate relationship with a student. He was arrested, as a matter of fact. What happened here, you say? I remember when I was in, let's see, I would have been in seventh grade, I think. When I was in seventh grade, our band director impregnated a cheerleader, and it was quite the scandal. Both of them had to flee town. No, she was a junior or senior, but I was in seventh grade. He was my band director. I was first chair coronet, as a matter of fact. Yes, and well, I won't say his name because maybe he got his life together. Anyway, he impregnated the cheerleader. They both had to leave town. I'm not sure what. There were rumors that they got married. She had the baby, by the way, because back then, well, abortion wasn't the first option. Anyways, it was still frowned upon, at least in the little town that I grew up in. But that was like old-fashioned sin, right? A 30-year-old band director impregnates a 17-year-old. Yes, I know it's a sin, it's a crime, but I can relate to how that could happen, okay? But here, this is a coach and a math and science teacher of male persuasion. What's the fella's name? Quentin Wright was his name. Male. At least he hasn't transgendered yet. He still identifies as a male. A mother found an inappropriate text message from Quentin Wright, the teacher, to her 14-year-old son. Yeah. And that I cannot relate to. By the way, the teacher has denied the mother's allegation. And, the teacher's mom has denied the allegation and accuses people of the school of trying to ruin her son's career. It's all a vast right-wing conspiracy to ruin. So this is, I mean, only his mother will defend him. This guy won't even come out. And the reason he won't defend himself is because the police have the text message. It's not like he's going to be. Anyway, but his mom stands up and defends him, indicating where this guy's problems come from. Very poor child-rearing skills on the part of his mother, still defending him after he's done something so hideous and heinous and horrifying. Any sane mother would want to hide in the basement so that no one would know that this was her kid. But she makes a public statement to CBS News that they're just trying to destroy Quentin's career. They always have been. Everyone's been out to get Quentin. All right. So reason number 910, to keep or get your children out of the government schools. They may be impregnated by the band director, or they may be texted inappropriate sexual messages from a teacher. All right, so do I have to keep going with these reasons? I will keep going with these reasons because I feel that people need to know what's happening. And there's evidence that people don't really know what's going on. According to Bloomberg News, a recent poll by Gallup indicates that Americans think that nearly a quarter of the population is homosexual. Yeah. But an actual poll of people found that fewer than 4% self-identify as homosexuals. So it's always been commonly known amongst people who study the statistics that somewhere between 1 and 2% of the population are sexual deviants in this particular manner. Homosexuality. But I'm sure that's on the rise now that it's been completely normalized and practically worshipped. So it's probably right around 4%. I would believe that. But for some reason, Americans think that it's like 25% of the population. And the folks at Bloomberg say it's unclear why people think the LGBT population is six times larger than it actually is. It's just, it's mystifying to us why this would be. Well, they asked some folks at Gallup, what do you think's going on here? This is quite a skewed poll. What's happening here? That's exactly right. And listen to this. The folks at Gallup, they said, well, it could be the overestimation of the homo population may reflect prominent media portrayals of homosexual characters on television and in movies, even as far back as the early 2000s. Homo and Gay TV, also known as HGTV, which they have a number of fine programs that I enjoy watching. But half the time, the House Hunters are, like that. I mean, who can watch that? We have to change the channel. End up watching RT or something. I mean, when it's 11 o'clock and you're stuck watching RT, trying to have a conversation about Vladimir Putin's latest propaganda, then you know it's because the House Hunters were homos. And you had to change the channel because you were going to throw up. That's right. And when you agree, you find yourself agreeing with Putin's that there's just way too much talk about homos. Well, you just start asking yourself, what's happened? It's been a paradigm shift, no doubt about that. The Gallup insiders say that several homosexual and even transgendered characters have become prominent in recent years on TV shows such as Modern Family, Scandal, Degrassi, and Glee. Never watched any of them. Never heard of any of them except Glee. I never heard of, Modern Family, isn't that a cartoon? Anyway, I never heard any of this stuff. So there's all these homos on TV, they say, as well as in movies, including Brokeback Mountain and The Imitation Game. I never saw those. Let's see here. In a separate poll that Gallup released last week, 60% of Americans favor legalizing a homosexual marriage, and that's exactly what the United States Supreme Court is going to attempt to do when they issue their opinion in June. This coming June, the traditional month when heterosexuals get married, June. Our anniversary is in June. I was married in June, and so was my wife. But that's when the homosexualists at the Supreme Court will issue their opinion that homosexual marriage should be legalized, and we'll just have to see if America goes along with that opinion. And according to the latest poll from Gallup, they are going to go along with it. Because 60% of Americans are too stupid to understand that they are committing civilizational suicide by destroying marriage between one man and one woman for life. Yes, they're too stupid to understand that. Now, I've got to address the Josh Duggar situation, as distasteful as it is, as sad as it is. But you may or may not be aware that one of the characters on the reality show 19 Kids and Counting, the oldest son, Josh Duggar, has issued an apology after reports surfaced that he allegedly molested girls as a teenager. He says he acted inexcusably. He says, I am extremely sorry. I deeply regret what I did. I hurt others, including my family and close friends. Apparently, when he was 14, girls started saying that he was fondling them. He says he confessed to his parents, but I'm sure that was only after he got caught, because that's been the pattern, at least in my life. I'm always ready to confess, but only after I get caught. So Josh Duggar did this. He admits he did it. He says he's sorry. TLC has pulled all the episodes that are set to air, and there is some debate now at TLC as to whether or not the show will go forward. They say it's unclear. Last season's premiere was the highest-rated debut yet, according to TLC. But now there's some debate as to whether or not they can go forward with an obviously family-friendly show when now something like this has come out. And Duggar also resigned from his position at the Family Research Council. So, what's that? Yeah, well, no, I said that. It's a family-friendly show. TLC, I don't think they care one way or another. I mean, they always put the... They always put the sex ads, you know, the Carl's Jr. and the sex ads, they put those on during 19 Kids and Counting. And they put ads on for their other deviant pervert shows. Yeah. Purposely, right? Anyway, so they could care less. But, well, anyway, I'm very saddened by this because I love the Duggar family and I love what they represent. And I'm not so sure they should stay on television, though, because the bottom line is, the consequences of sin are real, and quite often you can lose everything just because of your own sin or the sin that you have kept hidden within your family. And I think that's a valid lesson to teach America. But, of course, the Duggars, I'm not saying they're going to lose it all. They'll lose the TV show, but they won't lose their family. They won't lose what they have. And I think Josh has repented of this. He's a married man with children, I think. But what I'd like to ask Josh Duggar and his family, what I'd like to find out is, did this have something to do with pornography? Because so often when a young teenage boy acts out in this way, it can be traced back to some exposure to pornography. And, of course, here in America, our government has allowed a torrent of pornography to be vomited out on our children for 50 years, decade after decade, of a torrent of pornography, starting with the magazines and the movies, now the internet, it's everywhere. And I just like to know, does that have something to do with this? Because I suspect it does. And I want to wish the Duggars the best, and I will keep them in my prayers, and I hope you will too. And you are one with the cause. Do I am Doug McMillan. Thank you, as always. Extremely attractive. Audio engineer, as we round third and we're headed for home, we have to stop off at reason number 909, in no particular order, to keep or get your children out of the government schools. We go to Prince George's County, Maryland. Public school officials there are, well, attempting to respond to a video that apparently shows a substitute teacher using a belt on students in a classroom. It's not clear if the children were roughhousing and the teacher was trying to break it up, or if they were trying to hide from the teacher as he went at them with a belt. And so the school officials have released a statement. The statement, because nobody has the guts to face real questions in public anymore. Ay, ay, ay. The school says, quote, on Friday, May 15th, a substitute teacher used improper actions to discipline a student while in one of our classes. The substitute teacher has been removed from the classroom, and the matter has been referred to the appropriate law enforcement agencies. Prince George's County Public Schools does not condone this type of behavior, and it is not representative of the level of professionalism and respectful conduct of the team at the school. We work to create a respectful and safe environment for all students and staff. When I read that statement, all I could think of was that sexually ambiguously gendered Satan in Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. You remember how Satan was like, anyway, I could see the the person who issued that statement, while they didn't have the nerve to go in front of the cameras or take questions, that's the way it came across to me. Satan from the Passion of the Christ. But we move on to the continuing collapse. Well, not the collapse, actually. The intentional assault on the police authority in America. In New York City, the police commissioner there has called for reduced penalties for, all kinds of low-level crimes. He wants to basically grant amnesty to over a million of what he calls low-level offenders. He wants to reduce penalties for smoking pot and grant amnesty to about over a million residents with open warrants for low-level offenses. Last year, according to CBS in New York, of the hundreds of thousands of tickets that were given out for low-level offenses, fully 40% of the people skipped the proceedings or just never showed up at all. And so what's the solution of the police commissioner? Well, let's grant them amnesty. That'll teach them. That'll help. Council Public Safety Chair Vanessa, whatever that is, the Council for Public Safety. I see. The city council's public safety chair, that chair is named Vanessa. She favors doing something to eliminate the backlog that includes some summonses that are over a decade old. So you've got incompetent bureaucrats who are extremely efficient at shelling out welfare checks, but they simply cannot enforce the law. So I bet there aren't welfare checks that have been backed up for a decade. I bet those go out on time. But Vanessa and the city council there and the police commissioner, they just can't get it done when it comes to enforcing the law. They just can't do that. Vanessa, the chair, says, quote, "I think it would be a very delicate conversation where we want to find out the right balance. We also want all New Yorkers to respect the law, all the laws that we have on the books, because the laws are meant to be implemented. They are meant to be enforced. So this is a delicate conversation that we're going to have." But they've started the conversation, which means they will grant amnesty. And so they'll clear out their backlog, and they'll look like a very efficient bureaucracy again. And then they'll just stop issuing tickets to people who they know aren't going to show up, the potheads and the malingerers. Street people. Those are low-level offenses, so they'll basically just decriminalize that stuff, and they think somehow that's going to help, but it really puts the lie to the idea that any of these governing officials have any intention on helping any of us when it comes to crime. They have no intention. Their motivation is not to end crime. Their motivation is to regulate it and hire as many of their friends and relatives as they can to help them. And pay them government salaries and give them government benefits and a nice, comfortable government retirement. It's an industry, folks. It's an industry. And now when the low-level folks in the industry are embarrassed by the backlog because they're incompetent and they can't do their work, well, they'll just clear that out by doing something that makes them look good and furthers their true end, which is to build for themselves an industry of crime that they can sit atop and regulate and feel good about themselves and tell us all how great they are. All right. Now, from the science, really, file, birth control pills are bad for you. Imagine that. A cocktail of incredibly powerful steroids and hormones. Turns out that it's not so good for you to take that for long periods of time. A new study, according to Breitbart, finds the use of birth control pills is associated with significantly lower cortical thicknesses in certain brain structures believed to be important in the response to emotional stimuli. The study was published by the journal Human Brain Mapping, states that oral contraceptives contain steroid hormones that may affect the brain structure and foundation. They studied 90 women, 44 of them had used combinations of oral contraceptives, and 46 non-users, and they compared the cortical thickness and volume between the two groups, and they found significant thinning in the lateral orbitofrontal cortex and the posterior cingulate cortex in the women in the women on birth control pills. These regions, according to scientists, are believed to be important for responding to rewards and evaluating internal states, incoming stimuli, and things like that involved in emotion. And Breitbart reminds us that a study published in 2004 at the NIH describes what occurs with damage to the orbital frontal cortex. Damage to the orbital frontal cortex can impair emotion, your ability to respond emotionally. This region of the brain, by the way, the other region that's affected, the posterior cingulate cortex, plays a key role in altering behavior and response to unexpected change. This region, by the way, consumes more energy than any other cortical area. So a very critical region of the brain is affected negatively, apparently, by taking massive doses of steroid hormones. Who would have thought that? I would have thought that I could just dose up with massive amounts of steroids and hormones and I'd be just fine. 50 years ago, the government and the pharmaco-medical industry told women, it's going to be fine. You'll be fine, baby. You'll be fine, baby. Take the pill. Come on. You'll be all right. Not going to hurt anything. Let's see. A neuroscientist from UCLA says that we need to do more studies, right? And in fact, he's tried to do studies. He says, I think the first place to look is at the effect of birth control pills on regulating emotions. And in doing his research, he was amazed at the lack of research on birth control pills. Here's what this neuroscientist at UCLA says. He says, you'd think that after 50 years and hundreds of millions of women taking various incarnations of the pill, there would be a large and cohesive and impressive body of evidence on it, but there's next to nothing. He says, I honestly find that amazing. Well, working at UCLA, you may be insulated from enough from reality, Mr. Neuroscientist, to find that amazing, but I don't find that amazing. The pharmacomedical abortion industry has been constructed around the idea that we don't look too close at any of this scientifically. Because if we ever found out what they were doing to our wives, our children, and our girlfriends, we would want them criminally prosecuted for what they've done, for the lies they have told these girls. It's a criminal, one of the biggest criminal offenses in the history of mankind, what's been carried out by the purveyors of the pill. Disgusting. And this is just more evidence that the pill is dangerous, for crying out loud. Your doctor would never prescribe that type of drug for any other situation. Never. Unless you were like in a hospital bed with IVs hooked up to you. People on chemotherapy have drugs injected into them that are dangerous like that, but they're about to die. The pill is just so you can have sex with anyone you want, anytime you want. And it's just unbelievable. All right. Now from the Just Kill Me file, as we come to the end of the show. No, not Brian Kilmeade from Fox News. No. No, that's... Brian Kilmeade on Fox News. When he comes on, I call him the... Why don't you just kill me instead of Brian Kilmeade? Why don't you just kill me if I have to listen to this guy? But this is different. This is yet another advertisement for suicide. Christy O'Donnell says she doesn't want to die with terminal cancer. She has terminal cancer, and she knows it. And she's afraid of a painful death, she says. She says that what's going to happen at the end, they're going to drain the fluid from my lung, patch me up, and wait until the next time my lung fills up with fluid. Then they'll repeat that process, and I'll be dry painfully until I die. So, Christy O'Connell, this is reported by ABC News. Christy O'Connell, instead of being encouraged to be brave and deal with it and suck it up and be an adult and try and be an example of how to fight for life and how to be brave, instead, she's being celebrated for fighting for the right to die on her own terms. She even moved from California to Oregon in order to legally end her life with drugs that will be prescribed by a doctor. And anyway, the story goes on to glorify how wonderful and brave she is when she's not brave at all. The brave thing to do would be to go through it and die on God's terms. Try to be as comfortable as you can. So she's a non-responder to opiates. And so she's not going to be able to control the pain. And she insists at the end of the story that she's not afraid to die, which is, that's a lie. She says she's not afraid to die. If you're not afraid to die, you're mentally unbalanced. You should be afraid to die. She says she doesn't want her 20-year-old daughter to be traumatized by her death. She wants to die peacefully in bed, holding her daughter's hand. And it all just sounds so wonderful, and she just wants to have control and dignity. But what she's doing is she's setting an example to her daughter that suicide is an acceptable problem-solving method, and that is dangerous. And I don't want to hear your sob story that you're going to die of cancer, okay? A billion people have died of cancer painfully over the past 5,000 years. Your story, nothing is happening to you, Christy O'Donnell, that is not common to mankind. And for you to shrink in the face of your ultimate battle, you should be deplored. And you should not be worshipped as some brave person. You should be called what you are. You are a coward. You are a coward setting a bad example for the children of America. All right, Bill Nye is in Piscataway, or he was in, at Rutgers. He gave the keynote speech at their graduation. Yeah, Bill Nye, the science guy. This is from the science, really, file. Bill Nye used his speech at Rutgers as a platform to tell students they've got to find a way to stop climate change. One of the students who graduated with a bachelor's degree in something or other said, "Boy, Bill Nye, he's right. We all have an opportunity to make a choice as far as that goes, so global warming is something we needed to hear about." Nye said students who he said challenge people who dismiss climate change. He says the scientific consensus on climate change is as strong as the consensus that smoking causes cancer, he said, which is an outright bald-faced lie. But he's on a college campus, so he can pretty much lie with impunity, and he doesn't really have to worry about anything. All right, so, yeah. He'll never be caught because he's on a college campus where nobody knows anything. I have anything on that. One of the other students who earned a degree in urinalism says, "I learned from Bill Nye probably more than any other science class because he's so awesome. And I was excited to see him speak today." Bill Nye, by the way, has been perpetrated upon America, America's children, for the past 10 or 15 years since these kids were 3, 4, 5 years old. They think he's some great scientist. He's a TV hack created by George Soros and the other investors in the public television. Rutgers paid Bill Nye a $35,000 speaking fee. And here's what Nye said about racial issues. He says, "There's really no such thing as race. We all came from Africa. We are all of the same stardust. We are all going to live and die on the same planet, a pale blue dot in the vastness of space. We have to work together." Why do we have to work together, Bill? You just said we're pretty much insignificant. Why do we have to work together if we're just insignificant stardust? Bill contradicts himself, but he doesn't have to be worried. He doesn't have to be worried about being called on that by anyone at Rutgers because they're all brainwashed idiots. The whole higher education system has been corrupted, and it's a brainwashing factory, and they wash the kids' brains of any common sense, and it's just horrible. All right, finally, folks, the Danish government has been paying 32 jihadists about 60 grand in unemployment benefits while they were away fighting with the Islamic State against Christians and Yazidis and anyone else in Syria. So they leave Denmark to go fight for ISIS, and the Danish government pays their unemployment benefits. Yes, Denmark. Breitbart tells us, is well known for its welfare benefits. Yeah, and murdered artists. Yeah, they're famous for that, too. Belgium and Denmark are home to the most jihadis in Europe. And you'll remember we talked about this on the show. The media there says that jihadists are warmly welcomed home in Denmark by psychiatrists. The doctors hope to integrate the jihadists. And jobs is the main talking point. That's what a jihadist needs. Is a job. And if he can't get a job, we'll pay him welfare while he cuts the heads off of innocent people, and we'll feel quite good about ourselves. And that's the show for this week, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, American Right to Life, TheologyOnline.com, and of course my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen. here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, I will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.